It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
You nearly made the All-NBA team, which would have elevated your potential.
Oh, I did? They already came out?
Yeah,
they
came out today. You're like,
I mean, that's cool and all, but like, when you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like all-time team, but whatever. That's not, I'd rather win a championship than be 13 All-NBA, so it's all good.
Do you not like that affects potential contract statuses, you know, All-NBA stuff, because that would have elevated you.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing, so I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
But how are you able to roll that off your back, given, I mean, there's money implications?
Rings.
Okay, that's Klay Thompson. But, Tommy, I wasn't aware of what all this meant and the Supermax contract, probably because it's only been around for a couple of years. This is a relative new thing. And the difference, I mean, Klay Thompson can say rings and be like that. And you know, he's not going broke, that's for sure. But the difference between having a max contract and a Supermax contract, Tommy, could be upwards of $35 to $40 million over the length of the contract. There is a huge difference.
I think what he's saying is he's using the championships as the backdrop for, you know, qualifying, not getting the Supermax contract. I guarantee you he's probably pissed off that he didn't make one of the three teams, but he's saying, well, you know, the rings are more important than the money.
Yeah, he's trying to put a shine to it, but
it's easy, easy to say that because he has the rings.
Yeah. By the way,
now, a guy that hasn't been on one of those teams and is looking for the Supermax that doesn't have the rings is, you know, he can't say that.
By the way, it is hard to qualify for a Supermax extension. Really hard. A player has to be with the team he was on at the end of his rookie contract, entering his 8th, 9th, or 10th year in the NBA. And you have to prove you're a superstar. And there's three ways you can prove you're a superstar. Winning MVP in any of the three most recent seasons, winning Defensive Player of the Year in the most recent season or in the prior two seasons, and being named to an All-NBA team in the most recent season or in the prior two seasons. So Klay Thompson does not qualify, but meanwhile, Kemba Walker does, as does Damian Lillard. And Anthony Davis was the only player eligible to sign a Supermax extension. Now, listen, this is all dependent that you want to do it. You don't have to do it. It's not like the franchise tag in the NBA. It's different. Like, you can choose to just pass on it. And that's basically what Kawhi Leonard did. And if you do that, then most likely you're going to get traded because, you know, you obviously just don't want to be there anymore. So it's not like this happens all the time. But I was stunned to see the difference could be upwards of $40 million, the difference in a four-year max deal and a super max deal. Crazy.
And it's all tied to who votes on all NBA teams?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it media? Is it coaches? Is it GMs? Players? Is it like the Pro Bowl where it's broken down to thirds?
Don't know. Good question, though.
Because if it's just media only, man, you better be sucking up to the media every day. Yes, D-Mac, I'll take your idiotic question.
So under all that, because it came out like Klay Thompson wasn't even part of the third team. And I know what you were saying, too. It's like, well,
it's because of the makeup of the team.
Oh, right. There's a center.
The center. Like, the
Rudy Gobert is third team center. Now, there's not a world that exists where you would take Rudy Gobert over Klay Thompson.
He's not a he's journalists do. That's it. So it's the media.
Wow.
Journalists. A lot basketball of power players. There.
Holy cow.
But they are forced into voting for a Gobert-type player. Is he a top 15 player in the league?
No way.
No. But because of the position of center having to be a part of that, like I said, you could have the 15 best players in the league to make up the three teams could be all guards.
In theory, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it's just the basketball writers voting on it, man, they got some influence. So, well, Jamal, take this into consideration, man. In a couple years or 3-4 years, when you could possibly be up for a Supermax contract, you got to be friendly with all of the writers because of this. It's kind of odd.
That's right. Don't be ducking out just because you like. Answer some questions.
No, you can duck out for the next 2 or 3 years, but when you become eligible, 8, 9, 10.
I don't know. We got some long memories. We got some bitter memories.
No, that can be all washed away with a couple of idiotic answers to idiotic questions.
Us media hordes, we like our cold pizza and long memories. Ah, you're right. Just kiss up to us a little bit.
Does Jokic still make it? He's the center.
Well, he's got a long way to go.
No. I mean, does he still make it all NBA first team if the structure is not what it is?
He deserves to, in my opinion.
I agree, but I mean, his numbers, 20 and 10, aren't that sexy when you compare it to Westbrook and some of the other guys.
But congratulations, by the way.
There's a logjam at a lot of the guard position is the problem.
Oh, because that's what the game's all about. That is the NBA. And then every once in a while, somebody Jokic is he really is a unicorn. What he can do, what at his size, how he plays, he's awesome.
But he was a second round pick.
He was a second. I don't apply that to NBA.
Oh,
it's a different sport.
I just thought you hated all second round picks.
No. I love second round. You know, I love like second round centers, second round wide receivers, second round cornerbacks. I love those guys. Love them. Second round tight ends. Second round third baseman. By the way, how much prep have you put into the Major League Baseball draft, which is coming up? I mean, I am pumped. Pumped!
Is that June 3rd?
I believe it's the 2nd through the 5th, but
okay. I only ran into that because of Keuchel and the situation there with Houston offering him a contract, so teams have to wait until after the draft is over if they don't want to give up a draft pick for him.
Next week, I'll be putting out my 40-round mock draft of the Major League Baseball draft. This has taken some time, okay? When we come back, one of the more intriguing competitions of training camp will be at fullback. Get to know George the Monster Aston better next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing first, fighting out of the red corner.
The fullback, Janovich, his first carry in the National Football League is a touchdown.
He's got it.
Wide open and into the hands of Janovich.
And across the ring, his adversary fights out of the blue corner.
Here comes the.
Y'all don't really worry like.
Side handoff. It's a pitch to Aston. The fullback's in for the score. George Aston off the play fake. Throwing back of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown is George Aston.
I'd probably really rather knock a guy out over just one touchdown.
All right, we are joined by Bill Hall, who's the high school coach. I hope I'm getting it right, coach, at Sharando High School. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Sharando High School in Virginia.
In Virginia, the home of George the Monster Aston. Now, I am just creating this nickname Monster because I read an article where it called him a monster, but I don't know if that's his official nickname, so perhaps we should just start there. Is there a official nickname for him?
Yeah, I don't know if Monster. I've never heard that one, but we could just call him the Man.
The Man. Oh, I'll take that.
The Man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's all those things at Sharando, and he earned that.
Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about him?
Where to start? Actually, we just had a football meeting the other day, and I was talking a little bit about George. And one of the things that stood out and I was trying to relay to our kids is, as a freshman, he came in, and we have end-season lifting at 6:30 in the morning. And George was on our freshman team, and he said, "Coach, can I lift with the varsity guys?" And I was like, "Sure, absolutely." So that was at 160 pounds as a freshman. And then as a sophomore, he was 195 and started for us, 225 as a junior and 235 as a senior. So, and George never missed one weight room session in 4 years. So I think that speaks a little bit about his character and dedication.
You know, the article I read spoke of your feelings towards him and how you'll never have another player. You'd love to have another player like him, and how you truly love this guy. Why is that?
Because he's worked for everything that he's ever earned in life. You know, nothing's ever been given to him. You know, we've had a lot of kids that have come through our program and been offered scholarships. And, you know, there's certain kids in your program that you would just put your name on. And I tried to do that with George because of knowing all the characteristics that make him successful on the football field, but also in life. And so I kind of knew what he possessed, and that nobody's willing to go all in on him. And I said, well, you know, if you don't, somebody else will. And we have a fat head of him in our coach's office. And every time all those schools come back to recruit, and I always point to him, I said, I tried to tell you.
You mentioned that he was 160 pounds as a freshman. Did he have that neck then? And if not, how did he acquire that neck?
He did not have that neck. You know, George was bound. He came out there on Thursday, I guess, of last week. He was bound Tuesday. We spent a couple hours together. And I said, George, how big is the neck now? And he said, it's 22. Coach, and it was not that big then. But, again, you know, he was 160 pounds. So I think he's a great example for, again, he was a good athlete. Don't get me wrong. But he's a great example of what you do, what you can do when you realize your potential as a person. And so, you know, his work ethic, his commitment to eating properly, like all the little details allow you to be successful and realize your potential as a human being. He's done those things. And, you know, so, you know, he's a picture of hard work.
Was he not recruited or didn't receive many scholarship offers because he was a linebacker coming out of college, and maybe teams thought he was a little short? Maybe I know he they made him into a fullback and eventually got a scholarship the following spring. But was it the fact that he was a linebacker coming out of high school that kind of teams were cool on him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the recruiting world, if you don't hit certain measurables, you know, they eliminate you. And so that was one of the things, you know, he's a little bit undersized for a linebacker. He's really undersized for a linebacker. But, I mean, again, he was an all-state linebacker, but he was also a 1,000-yard rusher as a tailback. So if you can imagine him as a tailback, you know, we played in the state championship game that year, and things did not go our way that day. But at the end of the day, he has double-digit tackles and over 150 yards rushing. So, I mean, he was the guy that always came to play.
All right, give us one amazing story, something you saw out of him in high school that you've never seen before and probably will never see again.
You know, he held our squat record at 650 pounds. So if you can imagine a high schooler doing 650 pounds, pretty incredible. But, I mean, he has moments like that. He's just so unassuming, you know. It's not like he goes in there. You know, we've got a lot of yellers and screamers that do half the weight that George does. You know, he just goes in there and goes about his business. But he also takes great pride in being the strongest person on the team.
And no broken helmet stories of him as a sophomore?
Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah. Yeah, he's broken a helmet. He's shattered a couple face masks before.
His own or the opponent's?
I can't speak for theirs, but I know he's done probably two of ours. So, and of course, those things are guaranteed not to break. But one helmet and two face masks.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to it. You know, there's another guy just like him on the Broncos, Andy Janovich. I mean, the stories you're talking about, George, Andy's got all those stories too. And when we saw that they picked up a fullback, first of all, that stands out to us because fullbacks are a dying breed. Okay, They just don't happen all that often. So when we saw the Broncos pick up an undrafted free agent fullback, well, the first thing we said was, I bet he's got no neck. And we looked up a picture, and he had no neck. And then we've been able to see him out here a little bit. And we're like, okay, this is going to be an interesting training camp, because the mentality of those type of guys, Coach, is rare. Maybe you can speak to that sort of mentality when you run into the kids like that.
Yeah, they're definitely a dying breed. I mean, those are the guys that, you know, they're only going to be used so much on, you know, in a game plan in terms of personnel grouping. So, you know, you got to make your living on special teams. And so I think his versatility, and you know, he was on all the special teams at Pitt, you know, make him, you know, very valuable asset. And again, like I said, you know, like I think in his sophomore year at Pitt, you know, he had 10-plus touchdowns receiving. You know, so he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I used him a lot as an eight. So if you're in the league, obviously you're really good. So I can't speak to the guy that they already have, but I can just speak to George in terms of he's going to give you everything he's got, and he's Mr. Dependable.
You mentioned H-back, and we're talking about him as a fullback, but he has stated that he doesn't want to be described as a fullback. He's more versatile than that. Do you think he could ever maybe not line up where a traditional tight end would line up, but could he line up off the ball away from the tight end and actually do run blocking at the line of scrimmage, not taking on a linebacker, but maybe a defensive end or an outside linebacker?
Yeah, he spent a lot of his time at Pitt. I would say most of his time at Pitt, he was in a wing alignment or a slot alignment, in a tight slot alignment. So he's used to working off of ends probably more than he is linebackers. I mean, he does both of those things, and I think that's what he kind of relishes that role. Again, he has a lot of receiving yards and a lot of catches out of the backfield, so I think he's versatile like that. But again, you probably don't have too many people. Again, they're really special fullbacks who like to put their face in the fire the way that they do, and that's definitely his specialty.
All right, Coach, we're going to let you go. I'm sure you still have sleepless nights over that state championship that got away from you.
There's no doubt, but the thing I don't have is I have a great relationship with that kid. And
nice.
I say the reason why we're in that game is because he was with us.
Wow. Okay, we love it. Thanks for filling us in. They're new guys to us. They're legends to you. And we can't wait to see the competition. And we really appreciate your perspective, Coach.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
And thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Richie. Thank you for listening. Hang on. Tommy's on fire with the Drive Reloaded. He wants John Elway fired under a very specific set of circumstances. Keep listening. The Drive Reloaded is next on The Fan.